Hi, everybody, and welcome back to another bite-sized political podcast. I wanted to talk to you about a story which it relates to one of the most horrific incidents that's happened in modern times in the United Kingdom, which is namely the bombing by a jihadi of the Manchester Arena concert by Ariana Grande, in which killed 22 people. I remember it well. It was an absolutely horrific event. But a guy called Hazem Abedi, who was one of those convicted of being part of the plot to kill all those young people, was refusing to take part in a prison de-radicalization scheme while serving 55 years for helping his brother, who was the guy, of course, who detonated the bomb and killed himself in the process, along with 22 innocent people. So we read that this guy, this guy's brother, Hazem Abedi, he refuses to cooperate with a prison de-radicalization program, serving his 55 years. He's one of five inmates in a separation unit, apparently, in HMP Franklin, County Durham, and he, along with three others, have turned down the opportunity to change their ways. Well, I fully understand that. Why would he want to change his ways? He is committed to the jihad, and so I guess he feels, he's been convicted, but why should he have to? Change his ways? And you see, in a way, I kind of understand what he's saying, and I'm going to explain to you in a minute why. I'm going to explain to you what I think should happen to people like him. But apparently the probation officer up in this prison said, you know, one particular person I was working with, we opened a cell and he said, "I'm not going to talk to you. You're an enemy of Islam. You're an Islamophobe. You're my enemy." And the probation officer goes on to say, you know, there are some people that are so entrenched in their views and their ideologies and their beliefs that we have just become a holding center for them. And this probation officer, he's so right. These people are so imbued with hatred, imbued with a contempt for our country and for the people who live in this country, that they are essentially just being given a bed and breakfast service in prison. Lucy Jarvis, one of those injured during the Manchester Arena attack, has said that, quote, "He doesn't deserve any right to socialize with people, especially someone who is unfortunately on the same wavelength as him with these disgusting things." Lucy's absolutely right. He should, of course, be in permanent 24-hour solitary confinement. And that's one of the things that I actually would like to see with these kind of individuals, because when they mix, they actually spread their hate. They convert other people to their perverse ideology. So solitary confinement is to my mind, an absolute minimum. Again, this guy here that is refusing to be a participant in the de-radicalization program did confirm that he was part of the plot. And that's why he was handed 24 life sentences. But this is where, you see, it cuts to the chase. Handing him life sentences is, to my mind, a waste of time. He should be given the death penalty. The death penalty for convicted terrorists and those who arrange and who plot terrorist attacks seems the only fair outcome. I mean, I'm looking at the faces here as I speak to you of the young people who lost their lives on that dreadful, dreadful night. And including, you know, so it's heartbreaking, really. Some really young people, young girls, I can see, young ladies, the sort of people that I guess are big fans of. I see a 14-year-old girl lost her life, another 14-year-old, 15. This is grotesque. This is absolutely awful. And of course, the youngest life lost was the little girl, Safi Roussos, who was 8 years old when her life was tragically taken from her by these absolute scum. So I think if you set out to take human life in this way, and if you, I mean, if obviously if you blow yourself apart, well, eternity will be your judge, right? But if you survive, or if you are found to have been involved in the plot and you survive, well, then I think the best thing that can happen is you should be executed lawfully by the state. Now, I know I don't trust the state in so many ways, but I think that just to bang up these convicted jihadi who have no intention of changing their tune at our expense, the taxpayer's expense, I think that's really quite, you know, perverse. I don't see why the British people should fund terrorists to live in a degree of comfort in prison, given the scale of the crimes that they committed and the lives that they have been convicted of taking. That's why the law is weak. In a civilized country, we would restore the death penalty for certain categories of crime. And by that, I mean murder most foul. And by that, I mean acts of terrorism. I think the point about it is that if you set out to take life using in this way, you should absolutely forfeit your life. So I regret the fact that this guy is in prison. He would be far better in a grave. And the thing is that the governments, of course, around the world have chosen to walk away from death penalties, apart from in parts of the States. And instead, these individuals continue to live their lives long after their victims, sadly, have perished and lie in their graves. So it's a sad situation. De-radicalization, I don't really have much time for it. As I say, I've got a much better solution and a permanent solution that actually saves us money. Wonder what you think. Do let me know in the comments below. And thank you so much for listening. Right, I think I need to download some. Is that a thought?